Let me see. Are the switches on?
On. Hallelujah. You want to get over here? Okay.
I'm your right-hand man.
You're right, my right-hand man. Okay. Praise God. I want to tell you a little illustration to start. When I was a teenager, I used to go hunting with my brothers. And I wasn't the hunter. They were the hunters. And in the south, when the farmers cleared the land of the trees, there would be tall bush piles from the branches of the trees. And the rabbits like to make their homes under those big bush piles. And my job, when I went with my brothers hunting, was to climb up on top of the bush pile. And jump up and down. And then out from under the bush pile would run all these rabbits. And I always prayed that when they shot the rabbit, I wouldn't be the one that got shot. And so my job was to jump on the bush pile and to see what come running out. Well, this afternoon I might want to shake a bush or two. And to see what comes out of that.
You're a good translator.
Hallelujah.
I just said that.
You just said that. Well, praise the Lord. You see, I feel the Lord is bringing us back to first principles. And one of the things that we have struggled with in the church and church leadership has been man's leadership rather than God's. I've been in board meetings where the last person invited was Holy Spirit. And yet we say our churches are full gospel, Holy Spirit churches. And we're trying to do the church business, but we don't invite the one who's supposed to be running the church. And we have a problem because we want to ask God's blessing on what we're doing. Rather than asking Him to bless us in what He's doing. The Lord willing, I'm going to speak twice before the conference is over. And what I will be sharing, one builds upon the other. Now I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to go to prayer and invite Holy Spirit to enable you. To lay aside preconceived ideas. Now, if that preconceived idea is of God, then we can pick it up again. But if not of God, then we need to leave it and go God's way. Are we all in agreement with that? Father, I just thank you. that once again we can invite the Holy Spirit to fulfill his office as teacher. Lord, you said that when he would come, he would lift up your name. And that he would lead us into all truth. And so, Lord, we welcome him as our teacher this afternoon. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to teach this afternoon. That means I won't jump quite as high. And we're going to look at some scriptures. And I'm encouraging you to write the scriptures down. And I want you to not take my word. But when I say something, to confirm it in the Word of God. And when that happens, then the Lord will impart truth into your heart. The last thing I want you to say out of these teachings. The last thing I want you to say is David said. I want it to be what the Word of God, what Jesus says. Now, the first scripture I want you to turn to is found in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, 7.
You can write that down. You don't have to turn to it now. This is a prophetic verse speaking of the office that Jesus would come to fulfill. And two key parts in this verse is what I want us to look at. The first is, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Now, when we talk about government, church government, we must understand that it must rest upon the shoulders of Christ. And it continues to say that of his government, that it would increase. It says of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, the thing that I have observed over the past 45 years that I've been in the ministry is this, that rather than seeing his kingdom build, we see many involved in building their kingdom. Now, when we talked about the church, the destiny of the church yesterday, I stressed this point that there is only one church. And it meets in many different locations. But there is only one church. There is only one kingdom. Because there is only one king. And it's his kingdom that God has called us to build. And the government of that kingdom then must rest upon the shoulders of the king of that government. Now I want you to write down another verse. And I'll make reference to this verse more than once. Exodus 19:6. And it says, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation."
A kingdom of priests and
now often we hear the quotation that we are kings and priests. And that is based on a poor interpretation from the King James Bible. The better translation is we are a kingdom of priests. Now, if we were to be kings, there would have to be more than one kingdom. But there is only one king. Now we understand it in the old text years ago when the Bible was written. Our sister that is the mayor of Arctic Bay would probably have been referred to as the king of Arctic Bay or the queen of Arctic Bay. She's a lady. Because in those days, most villages didn't have mayors, they had kings. And so the meaning of the word king in those days was not quite the same as it is today.
We don't differentiate between king and queen.
We don't. That's fine. That's good. Hallelujah. That's good.
What was it again?
There was a different con. When we think of a king today, we think of a king of a great nation. Rather than just of a community like Arctic Bay. Do you remember there were 12 kings that came up against Lot's in Sodom and captured and took Lot away with and all the belongings from those communities? And how Abraham, who was a prince in his own standing, armed his servants and he went and rescued his nephew Lot from those kings. How many remember that story? And so that gives you a better understanding of why the translation kings and priests came about. And that is why one of the titles of Jesus Christ is King of Kings. All right, so that is helping us to understand that what I am saying is that we are going to be like princes rather than kings as we think of it today. And we're not going to build any more on that because we're going to go on with church government. But just to remember that phrase that we have been called to be a kingdom of priests.
tanit kamera ya hoto intara haka intara kaya kuya sima juwata niyovimmo ayos tuye hoti kaya onyaktilta.
And a holy nation. Now, yesterday we touched on two passages with regard to church government. We read Ephesians 4, 8 through 12, where it talked about when the Lord ascended on high, that he gave gifts to the church.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, mamalunay metwak sila ako to atanik.
And in that passage it said he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists.
Evangelists, pastors, teachers.
And also we looked at the passage in 1 Corinthians 12, 28.
Chapter 12, verse 28,
where it says, God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And after that, miracles and gifts of healing, helps, administration,
etc.
Now these passages talk about New Testament church government, how God desires to govern his church.
In Acts chapter 14, verse
23, we read that Paul appointed elders in every church.
Apostle Alagani chapter 14, verse 23, Takuyu Paulusi inilatagalaktuvni makatingayiloksuni.
And it says that after prayer and fasting, they commended them. And it says they commended them or to the Lord in whom they believed. And Paul wrote to Titus that Titus, who was a church leader, that when I left you, I asked you to set things in order. And to appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, stir up the gift of God that is within you. Which was given to you by prophecy. With the laying on of the hands by the eldership. And so we have looked at only three verses, which refer to eldership in the church. And that these elders are a part of the church government. Now, there's another key thing in our thinking that we have to change. Normally, when we think of administration or government as it is in business, we look at it from the ground up. But when we look at God's authority in government, it comes from the head down. And that is key and important to realize. Another thing that we need to realize about this is that it is a kingdom. It is the kingdom of God, not the democracy of God.
democracy is no longer alive. Kina tuin na kisi mami kun natilugi hanu gala tuin na nego ako maya mina kun natilugi tay may tungim mat.
All right. Like many churches, this is what I'm trying to show you. Many churches are run like government in the world. They have an election for the deacons, an election for the elders. They even elect the pastor. And if we want to look at the origins of this government, we go back to what Brother Keith said this morning. When the children of Israel said, "Give us a king like the other governments have." And this is a major problem in many churches, as they want to run the church like the world runs. Now, most of us will agree that the world's in a mess. So if we're going to run the church like the world is run, then we're going to have a mess in the church. There is a definition out there that it says this about insanity, and most of you have read it or heard it. And that is, it's a form of craziness. To keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. The Lord has given us some good directions. He's given us a handbook. And he's given us a good teacher. It's a good idea to read the handbook. How many of you ladies like to bake?
What, bake?
Bake, yeah. How many of you know it's good if you follow the instructions? When my mother was alive, she used to tell this story. My father's mother used to make a very good rice pudding.
My father's mother.
Yeah. And so she wanted to make my father happy by baking him a rice pudding. But she had no instructions for rice pudding. And she had never cooked rice before. And she said it can't be too hard. So she put a pot of water on the stove. And she turned on the heat. And then she got a bag of rice. Big bag of rice. And she poured it into the pot. Well, after a while, the rice began to swell. And the pot wasn't big enough. So she got another pot. And she put water in it. And she dumped some of the into that pot. And after a while, that pot wasn't big enough. And she had to get a bigger pot. And after a while, she had to go to the neighbor and borrow another pot. And she had pots of rice everywhere. And then my father came home.
Tai mata tagan khagami.
And he looked at all these pots.
Takkuninga iga simajali ukkusin takutsuni.
And he said, "What happened?"
Si juvenile ve latsuni.
Just what I'm trying to make your rice pudding.
Rice pudding le rasatrin na kain na khagalat.
If she had had the instructions,
it
would have gone much better. There's another word that the Lord gives us. And it's very important about the direction of the Lord. Now, I'll try to find the reference for you later. But perhaps Keith will remember it. The word that the Lord says that he does nothing except he first reveals it to his prophets.
God does nothing
until he first reveals it to his prophets.
Good translation.
Okay. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Good. We're flowing together. Hallelujah. So that means that in our planning, in our local government, we need the presence of the office of the prophet.
And
so that we can be sure that we have a hearing ear. Of what the Spirit is saying. Now, we have already talked about the fact that when God's government is what we call a theocracy, which means God rules. And in his government, there are no elections. Only his appointments. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, the word of the Lord says that there will be a witness and a confirmation. It says that it seemed good to us and the Holy Ghost. And thus they sent Paul out. It was a corporate, there was a witness. There had been fasting and then there had been prayer. Now, if we want to have some leadership examples, there are some examples in the Word of God. I
want
to just quickly give you a good one and a bad one. I'll give you the bad one first. And you don't have to turn and read this. I'll tell you what. It's found in Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28.
Matthew 6, chapter 20, verse 23, 28.
And this was when the mother of James and John came to Jesus and said, "When you come into your kingdom,"
I want you
to make my son the prime minister, my other son the minister of finance, and we'll just say the other son, whatever.
Prime minister
Now we understand that the prime minister traditionally was the one that sat at the right hand of the king.
Then the prime minister
and she wanted her sons to sit at Jesus' right hand when he came to his kingdom. But listen, this is what Jesus said. That's not up to me. But to my Father who was in heaven. You see, this is how church government goes. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit, and those that he has set in office. You see, Jesus, even when he walked this earth, he says, I don't do anything unless my Father tells me to do it. But we've got a sort of backwards in when we plan things. Well, Lord, we're going to do this, this, and this, and we want you to bless it. But the Lord says, I want you to do this, this, and this, and if you do, I will bless it. And so that's the same. The same in government. We made a decision in our own local church. We used to have a board of 12 members. And sometimes, because we needed 12, we would appoint people to fill the position. And that was not wise. And so what we decided to do was we sought the Lord. And then we changed our constitution so that we have a minimum of 5. And a maximum of whoever God puts on. And we determined that we will not put anyone on the board unless we have the direction of the Holy Spirit for them to be placed there. And then we'll move on from there. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying so far? We're just getting to a little bit toward elders and where they come in a moment.
Elders,
the second illustration I wanted to give you is found in Luke 22.
Luke 22, me
verses 14 through 30.
Luke 22, 14 to 30.
And in this illustration, we see Jesus serving the Last Supper. And Jesus has already washed the feet of the apostles. And he says that in man's kingdom, the servant waits upon those that are on the table. Because they're the leaders. But he says in God's kingdom, it's the servant who God's called to lead. And he led by example.
You
see, we have things backwards. And God is endeavoring to turn that around. Something I said to you yesterday about some pastors. And we will look at that word later on. The word pastor really means shepherd. And the shepherd is willing to lay down his life for his sheep.
tuhugaluarne hanuitsarani saoga ikamagiyanni pillugit.
But many of the shepherds that I see,
kiseani tekka saugalerijiami sutakoyakka,
are asking the sheep to lay down their lives.
Sauga hotimini tuhugaluarti hanuingitulanningaartuit.
It's always the sheep that are making the sacrifice.
Taimangattaqqa paeriyau saugai imminituni yutuohtamata.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And that is why we are in problems in some areas. Why the kingdom of God is not being established. And why in many areas men's kingdom are being established. In Acts chapter 13, verse 4, it says, so being sent by the Holy Spirit, they went down into Seleucia.
David, can you put this up, please? I'm having to shout.
Okay. It wasn't a mission board that sent them. And there's nothing the matter with mission boards if they're hearing from Holy Spirit. You remember Paul was laying on his bed thinking he was supposed to go one way. When he had a vision from the Holy Spirit that said, go this way, come over to
Asia.
And he was sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit to recognize that it was the Lord speaking to him. It was not a case of having too much pizza before he went to bed.
You remember what we said about
Muktuk? Yeah. Okay, all right.
That they don't translate well in
they don't very translate very well. All right. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's picking. Now, one of the things I've noticed, we'll go by. All of those that are bilingual got the joke. Those that didn't, God bless you.
Isn't it?
To do a little study, you should follow the writings of the Apostle Paul. We call him the Apostle Paul. You will find that nowhere in the New Testament does Paul call himself Apostle Paul. He calls himself Paul, an apostle of the Lord and servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he understood what the word apostle meant. It meant one who was sent. And so he wrote to the church in Arctic Bay. And he says, Paul, the one that Jesus sent. And the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand? He didn't say,
it's me, Paul, the apostle.
And you're blessed to have me here today.
Man
of God. All
power.
Jesus never came that way either.
Jesus,
and he's the chief apostle.
Jesus,
and what does that mean? He is the chief one that was sent by God the Father. You see, these names are not about titles.
atsiraarusi kinaunittini nalnersingittut.
They're about offices.
Sunajunittininga ohaajut.
It's about where God has placed you in the body of Christ.
Imatukili kutimu namungatausimantinik sunamipijatsitaktitausimantini tukiliit.
With the emphasis on God. You see, when we do a licensing or ordination service, of a pastor, we are only recognizing the gift and call of God on their life. When we lay hands on someone and we set them apart, as is biblical, onto the ministry that God has called them to. And so when Maggie was licensed and ordained, it was not, well, here we are, the big organization, we're going to empower you to be a pastor and give you papers from the Governor Cronbeck of Quebec. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people in the ministry, and that's all they have. I had a young man come to me with his certificate this big from a Bible college. And he said, now I'm a graduate, where can I work? Well, the paper does not make the man. The little card you carry in your wallet isn't what empowers you. That is but a recognition of the giftings and callings of God upon your life. And if he is not in it, then what you're running is a social club and not a church. Now, why have I gone around this long loop and I haven't got to elders yet? Because I want you to understand that elders is an eldership is an office within the church. And if we were to take time today, we're going to stop shortly, to study just elders, we would find that the name elder is used synonymous in the Word of God. I mean the same. Interchangeably, we could use that word. With pastors and bishops. Now remember when I said at the beginning we're going by this book. Not by man's book. And there has been authority invested in some offices within some organizations. That God never intended. And because of that, rather than being those who have come to serve,
okay,
they are the ones who have come to be served.
All
right. The word elder comes from the Greek word presbyter or presbytos.
Presbyter is what?
That's the Greek word for elder.
Okay.
What it means?
It's because we don't have a word for elder.
Well, what it means is the same as it does elder in Inuktitut.
Elder.
It means aged person. That's the same, right? The Greek word means aged person. Old guy. Okay.
Presbyter Greek
titut. Yeah, that's the Greek word for old guy. Okay. And it's used about 50 times in the New Testament.
Testament itane 50 vigalatsuni uhaktajutanna.
But what it the connotation or in the setting in the Word of God? It refers to those who have spiritual eldership, spiritually mature. And it could encompass more than just pastors. In my belief, I think it can encompass all the fivefold ministries. Because these represent mature ministries that God has placed within the body of Christ. So I have elders in my church congregation who serve in the office of prophet, in the office of teachers, in the office of pastor. Some are gifted in evangelism. And very much like Keith, who's here today, teacher. And it's not that we chose our eldership that way. But it is the way that God has raised them up within our body. So that we have a balanced ministry that can minister into the congregation. The pastor from Ottawa that was here last year, what was his name? Barry Boucher.
Barry Boucher.
He shared last year that he came to the realization that he was pastoring a church, but he wasn't a pastor. And so they had to look at their leadership within the body, the local body. And identify who those who God had raised up as shepherds in the local congregation. And release them and empower them to shepherd in the church. A matter of fact, if we study the New Testament, you will not find any of the churches that I'm aware of, there may be some, that have only one leader in their church. Matter of fact, Paul said to appoint elders. Plural. In the church. He didn't just say put in one pastor. How many of you know that if you only have one of the fivefold ministry pouring into your life, you're going to have an unbalanced growth?
Okay. apostli nalatta itakkunani atausituinna pinasuarajarpa illakkunni pigajaratsi.
And so if the Lord has placed you in the position of leadership, in God's wisdom, you need to bring in other ministries to balance the growth in your congregation.
And so
where are we at now? It's about 10 to 3, so we need to draw the time shortly. What we need to look at is in our own congregations.
It's
not to get caught up in the word elder or deacon. But to rather look to see who God is raising up in your church.
To see
who Holy Spirit is moving into certain areas and giftings. And then as the Holy Spirit gives direction, to release them into the various giftings or offices that God has raised them into. Now something we realized quite a few years ago when we were translating the constitution for our churches.
From
the English, the constitution from English to Inuktitut. That we understood the word deacon means servant. And so that when we were forming our boards, we rather than coming together and forming a board of directors, which is the world's order, we sought out those that had servant hearts within our church. Hearts to serve the vision of the local church in the community that God has established. And to bring them together as a board of servants. And these are the ones the government would recognize as our trustees. But they're not there to boss and direct. They're there to serve the vision that God has given the local church. In Proverbs 29, we quoted this yesterday. The word of the Lord says, my people perish for lack of vision. But the word there for vision is prophetic revelation. Where does the vision come from? Holy Spirit revelation. God showing us why he has established our local church.
And
how he is going to use that to touch and change and release his glory in our community. And he does that through individuals like you and I. Who have a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So then when we meet as a board or a governing council, whatever you wish to call it, when we have finished and we have received what we believe is from the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say it seems good to us. And the Holy Spirit. And this is what he's calling us to do today. Now that today, for the Arctic Bay Church, could be to rally around the mayor and cover her with the anointing and the protection of God. So that you could have a godly king in rule and authority. A godly king ruling and in authority. When that passage was written, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Most nations were city nations. You know, how is God going to transform Canada? One community at a time. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me for prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We ask now, Lord, that what we have shared, you would take. That you would press us to look into your word. To not be satisfied with just hearing what was said. But inviting the Holy Spirit to quicken his word. And writing it on the fleshly tablets of our hearts. So that we can see your will fulfilled in our communities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lord bless you.
Hallelujah.